We are on a series and we've titled this Supernatural Living. And so I want to deal with that a little this evening. And then we go into intense praise. Glory to God. Apostle was here last week and he took out time to show us how to command the supernatural through the operation and the functionality of your DNA. He showed us our identity and our DNA as one major precursor of walking the supernatural. This evening, I want to add another layer, and I told you we are going to be dwelling on this mountain for a period of time. Because everybody must begin to live the supernatural life. But it's important for us to have some biblical basis for understanding the subject. And so very quickly, I want to help define what we mean by supernatural living and then give you some scriptures, and then we'll look at the scope of the supernatural life. The scope. There is a latitude to this reality. And then we'll look at, when we are done, a few examples of men that walked in the supernatural. Because it's going to give you an understanding of what God expects when he sees you. The Bible said in Romans 15 verse 4, it said the things that were written aforetime, they were written for our learning. So that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. So they are not written to make up stories of God's dealing with men in the past. They are handed out to you as a blueprint of possibilities that your life can also command. So we are going to look at a few examples. And then we look at one precursor for the supernatural this evening. Praise God. And so when we talk about supernatural living, we are talking about a life governed, empowered, and sustained by God, and not by human abilities or limitations. When you look at a man's life, and every facet of that life is both governed, empowered, and sustained by God, that's a man living supernaturally. Although God has given us the natural life, he wants and expects us to live it supernaturally. That's one of the things that separates you from other animals and other creatures in the terrestrial realm. I told you there are three realms of existence. There is the natural realm, there is the preternatural realm, and there's the supernatural realm. The natural realm is the realm governed by natural laws. The preternatural realm is the soulish realm, or the realm governed by the forces of emotion, the forces of the mind, and the forces of the will. And of course, there is the supernatural realm, which is the realm governed by spirits. And in this case, we are talking about the positive supernatural. That's why we said it's a life governed, empowered, and sustained by the Spirit of God. It is the life of Christ expressed through a believer by the power of the Holy Spirit. I told you before that Christianity is not another religion. There is religion in Christianity, and the Bible defines it as acts of kindness expressed towards the poor. But Christianity itself is beyond a religion. Christianity is divinity expressed through humanity. So when you find the life and the power of Christ at work in a man by the Holy Spirit, you know that man is living a supernatural life. And so by implication, you are expected to be like Christ. The Bible said the believers were first called Christians in Antioch because they recognized them to be little Christ. Their lives were patterned to manifest dimensions that were seen in the person of the Christ. So you could look at them and say, these ones are exactly like Jesus. Glory to God. And the apostles were audacious. This was not a coincidence. This was what they lived on a daily basis. That's why Paul could tell you in 1 Corinthians 11 verse 1, mimic me as I mimic Christ. Follow me as I follow Christ. So this is not a once in a while occurrence. This was the lifestyle. This was the life force. Every day, the man operated like Christ. This is why John will tell you in 1 John 4:17, as he is, so are we in this world. So we live and operate like Christ, because his life is animated on our inside by the power of the Holy Spirit. It will be an aberration if they didn't function like Christ. I look at my little boys growing up, and every day I see them doing things I do without being taught. They have a DNA that occasions it. So they reached the age, they started talking. They reached an age, they started walking. And then some of my character traits, including stubbornness, I see them manifesting it without a lecture. So what I'm doing here is just to awaken something in you. It's already there. The supernatural is in you. Glory to God. You were born in it. You were born for it. And you have to live it out. Praise God. So when we say supernatural living, we are saying your life is regulated, sustained, and powered by the Holy Spirit. Every aspect of your life. When we say supernatural living, we are saying the life of Christ has been embedded into you, and it has been animated by the Holy Spirit. So that when we see you, you are exactly like Christ in all ramifications. And then number three, when we are dealing with this subject, remember, we call it supernatural living, not supernatural occurrence. So it is not something that happens once in a while. It's a lifestyle. So when we say supernatural living, we are simply saying beyond occasional occurrences of miracles is a life of consistent fellowship and manifestation of the nature, the wisdom, the power, and the purposes of God through a human person. It's a life of consistent manifestation of the nature, the wisdom, the power, and the purposes of God through a human vessel. This is supernatural living. And this is what God is reminding us that we must live out on a daily basis. Genesis 1:26. When man was created, he was created to model divinity. He said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion. So we were created to model divinity, both in essence and in propensity. Imagine the whole earth was given to one man to govern over. That's not something he can do by human abilities. Something supernatural had to be embedded. And that's why the nature of God, the likeness of God, and the authority of God was given to him. Because he will do it by supernatural forces. Praise God. So the very first man that was created to live supernaturally. And it has been the pattern. Even after the fall, God still expected man, through the agency of the Holy Spirit, to live supernaturally. And the patriarchs understood it. Isaiah said, in Isaiah 18 verse 8, he said, I and my children, the children that the Lord has given me, he said, we are not for natural existence. He said, we are for signs and we are for wonders. I and the children whom the Lord had given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts that dwelleth upon Mount Zion. Isaiah said, we live signs and wonders. We will not act timid about it. This is who we are. We live supernaturally. I and my children. You will say, oh, Isaiah was a prophet. It's expected. He said, I and my children. So supernatural living is our heritage. Except we are for signs. I don't know about others, but I and my children, we are for signs and we are for wonders. The psalmist was speaking in Psalm 137 verse 14. Check it for me. Either 137 or 139. He said, we were fearfully and wonderfully made, and we are aware that we were made for wonders. Check that scripture for me. He said, I praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. He said, marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. So, this is not strange to me. I know that I'm a being of wonders. I know. There's no situation that will make me think otherwise. Now, you need to understand that your consciousness is a critical component of this reality. I know that I am fearfully and I am wonderfully made. Now, when we were born of God, one of the tokens added to our consistent manifestation was signs and wonders. In Mark 16:17, Jesus said, it's not enough to call yourself a believer. If you are a believer, you must be supernatural. He said, these signs shall follow them that believe. These signs. So amongst other things, one of the ways you know who a believer is by the signs that accompany his life. He didn't expect believers to be barren of the supernatural. Do you know, even though we thank God for miracles done on his children, it is a pain to see people who should command miracles lining up waiting for miracles. It is a pain in the heart of God to see people who should command the supernatural lining up, literally begging for it, not knowing that it's their inheritance. There are too many scriptures that insist that we must live supernaturally. Too many scriptures. And so this evening, we want to quickly examine this supernatural living. What's the scope? Because when we say supernatural living, we are not saying for the past 10 years I've not been sick. That's part of it, but it's broader. When we say supernatural living, we are not saying I went somewhere to preach and I prophesied. That's part of it, but it's broader. God expects that every aspect of your life is supernatural. Every aspect. From your finances to your relationships to your preservation, every aspect should be supernatural. That's what God is thinking. You know, there are many people who think the supernatural is that I believe in Christ, now I have received salvation, I will no longer be judged, I will not go to hell, I will live with God forever. You think that's the reason Jesus came to die? It is broader. Salvation is a broad subject. It does not only impact on your soul, it impacts on every aspect of your life. Imagine if you save a man from judgment and he dies of poverty, or he dies of sickness. That salvation is not holistic. Glory to God. So when God is speaking about the supernatural, it is a holistic reality. And he wants his children to understand it, contend for it, and manifest it. Because the truth is that if you don't understand it, if you don't contend for it, you will not see it. Look around you. You will see that this is not an argument. Too many Christians are frustrated living below God's standard because the supernatural is not at work in their lives. So any area where you live supernatural is an area where you understand that you ought to. It's an area where you contend using the resources of the Spirit. It's on that basis and that basis alone that it becomes your reality. So what are the scope for supernatural existence? Very quickly, we'll look at a few. Number one, when we speak of supernatural existence, we are talking about a life that every aspect of it, beyond human intellect, is directed by God. So supernatural living is a life that is guided, directed by the Holy Spirit. Meaning, in my relationship, the Holy Ghost guides me. I can, out of emotion, connect with somebody. I like the person's dispositions. I like the person's sense of humor. And I'm having a good time. Then suddenly say, no. The Holy Ghost says, no. Don't relate with him. I will pack up. That relationship is over. Glory to God. I may want to invest in a business. The concept is very nice. The propositions are very nice. And then I want to make payment. And then the Holy Ghost says no. If the Holy Ghost enters every aspect of my life and begins to give me direction, I have entered the supernatural. In Isaiah chapter 30 verse 21, he says, if you are in the wrong way, you will hear a voice behind you telling you, this is not the way to go. Turn back. So when we speak of the supernatural, the first scope is directive. A life directed by the Holy Spirit is a life of discernment. Discernment in every aspect of living. This is not the way to go. Turn back. I'm not saying you may not make mistakes. None of us have perfected discernment. But even if you've gone in error, the Holy Ghost will direct you back. That's the supernatural. In Romans 8:14, he said, as many as are led by the Spirit. He said, they are the sons of God. They are the sons. So supernatural people, they can tell you every step of their lives, what God said and how they got there. They are not wanderers. They are people directed. They are people guided. So when we deal with the scope of the supernatural, we must first of all realize that direction is a component that cannot be trivialized. You are not supernatural if you are not led. You are not supernatural if you are not directed by the Holy Spirit. Number two, when we speak about the supernatural, we are talking about a life that commands, sustains, manifests, and reveals tangible presence of God. Tangible presence. So it's not just the direction of God, it's the presence of God. A man cannot say he walks in the supernatural if he is barren of divine presence. The proof that you have entered supernatural frequency is that when men come to you, they will sense God. They will know God is with you. Read your Bible. Hidden people, hiddenistic people were the ones who recognized God's presence in God's people, amongst God's people. If you read about Joseph, in Genesis 39 verse 1 to 5, the Bible said Potiphar realized that God was with Joseph. He knew. Joseph was not preaching in Potiphar's house. There was no record that Joseph came and started preaching about the God of the Hebrew. He wasn't even given that luxury. He was a slave. So he did what he was told. Nonetheless, the presence of God could not be hidden. The man said, no, God is with you. And on account of that, he gave him charge over all his house and over all his assets. Not because of skill, but because he saw God's presence. Laban said, I have come to understand by divination. Talking to Jacob, he said that the Lord is with you. When you find supernatural people, one of the scope, one of the characteristic, one of the tangible notice you will pick up is the presence of God. It's a latitude in supernatural operation. You can't say you are supernatural and the presence of God is barren. Check Moses' life. When they came out of Egypt, one of the things that stood out was the visible expression of the presence of God. The Bible said, at night, the presence of God went before them as a pillar of fire. And in the day, it went before them as a pillar of smoke. They carried something tangible. The nation saw it and they dreaded. So much so that when they are approaching a kingdom, the kingdom begins to panic. If they choose not to relate with us, we are finished. Now, these are a people that were in captivity for over 400 years. No military training, no economic structure, yet they were a dread to the nation because they carried the presence of God. And under that ambience, we saw supernatural manifestations. The Bible said their shoes grew with them. The Bible said their clothes did not wax old. The Bible said they rebuked kings for their sakes. Everywhere they went, they took over. So the presence of God is the token of the supernatural. The direction of God is the token of the supernatural. So anybody who carries the supernatural, you must find these tokens. He can't be in error for long. He will hear a voice. He can't be barren of God's presence. When you come around him, you will know this is a man of God. Not because of the title, not because of the dress. There is something invincible yet tangible that his life commands. When you start seeing these things in people, know that what God is doing with them is not natural, it's supernatural. Those are the kind of people you want to connect with. People that you can tell God is with. People that you can tell God is leading. Their life is supernatural. It may not appear so at first, but wait. The Bible said, though thy beginning be small, it said thy latter end shall greatly increase. Glory to God. I'm showing you the tokens of the supernatural. These tokens are the powers that define the bearing and the scope of supernatural possibilities. Number three, when you find a man who is living in the supernatural, he manifests spiritual varieties. And it's like it's natural to him. You will come around him, you will be seeing spiritual varieties flowing out of him as though it's a normal thing. And he may not even know he's operating there. Virtues that only the spirit embodies will be flowing out of the man, and it will be flowing sometimes humorously, effortlessly, and you are wondering, how did you come here? You are not normal. There's something about you. These are the signs of the supernatural. What are the varieties you see? Number one, faith. He just believes. He doesn't know impossibilities exist. I was in the worry this morning, and I was teaching them about all things are possible. And I showed them four dimensions of possibilities that are with God. And every supernatural man believes it. Number one, God does not recognize death. He is called the resurrection and the life. So death has no authority in his realm. If anything dies, God can bring it back. Number two, God is not intimidated or controlled by the forces of nature. Although he caused laws to regulate nature, he lives above it. That's why when you read your Bible, when God has an agenda, if nature is against it, nature is overriding. Jesus was at a wedding feast. They said, the wine is finished. He said, fill the water pot with jar. When they filled it, he said, fetch, go and give the governor of the feast. And they gave him, it was wine. The water had the intelligence that right now is an error to be H2O. No prayer. The realm cooperates with him. The realm. The laws of nature. So when you see a supernatural man, you will see him believing things that you think is impossible. And he won't raise an eyebrow. Things that should make somebody lose his sleep, a supernatural man will just be talking about it as though it's nothing. And then you are wondering, how? What's wrong with you? Look at the beings that live in God's name. That's how they operate. Angel Gabriel came to Mary and said, you will be with child. He was talking as if he was having a discussion. And Mary said, wait, number one, your salutation troubled me. What do you mean that by I am blessed among women? Do you have an idea how many women are on the planet? Your salutation alone has made me uncomfortable. Now you are saying, I'm a virgin, I'll have a child. He said, don't you know I don't know a man? And the angel was not troubled. He said, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you. The power of the highest shall overshadow you. What will be found in you shall be called the Son of the Most High. This is supernatural. Impossibility in the natural being discussed like a normal conversation. Sit with supernatural people. When you hear their conversation, you know you are in the wrong address. They are talking about nations, taking nations as though it's their backyard. They are talking about investments in the billions as though they are talking about buying pure water. And most times, not because they have all the money, they just believe all things are possossible. The Bible said in Mark 9:23, all things are possible to them that believe. This is supernatural life. When you enter the faith frequency and you discuss impossibility as though impossibility does not exist, it's a variety of the spirit. This is how supernatural men function. They manifest varieties, virtues of the spirit. Faith is one of them. Number two, wisdom. When you find supernatural people, they talk wisdom as though they were present when the world was created. Their life literally is a mystery. You hear them communicate things, and sometimes you are tempted to ask them, where did you study this? How do you know this? How do you come about this truth? Look at what Paul was saying in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 from verse 6. He said, we speak wisdom amongst them that are perfect. He said, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. He said, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Is this a man talking? He now made a statement. He said, which wisdom was created before the foundation of the world for your glory? The question is, wait, where is the foundation of the world? How do you know about it? How do you know the things that were installed in the foundation of the world? You know, this is not human syllabus. This is not a discovery in a lab somewhere. A man is telling you these things. When the world was created, they were weaved into the foundation of the world. And they were put there for your glory. And you are wondering, where did you read these things? How do you come about it? See Jesus talking to Nicodemus. This is a ruler of the law. A master, a rabbi. In John chapter 3, comes to Jesus at night. After hailing him, we know you are a teacher, come from God. For no man can do the things which thou doest, except God be with you. And the first thing Jesus said is, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And the guy was like, how can a man who is fully grown be born again? Will he enter his mother's womb a second time to be born? You know, they can't get it. The Bible said the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. See, when you enter the supernatural, wisdom becomes natural to you. You can look at a business and you just say, do this, do this, do this. And the person said, are you an expert in it? I don't have to be an expert. I know by the Spirit. I know by the Spirit. And if they want to doubt, your impact, your results will confound them. I'm telling you, spiritual verities. For instance, favor is like a perfume they wear. You find some people, 10 persons were rejected, and he shows up casually, and they have no choice but to pick him. And then you are wondering, why were the laws suspended for you? It's a variety. Every supernatural man manifests this virtue. It is natural to him. They are preaching to you how it will not work. 50 ways how it cannot work. And then you show up, you say, forget that. And you start doing it, and it's working. And they say, how? There is something on your life that even you cannot explain, but you cannot deny that it's there. It's a proof that you are in the supernatural realm. I don't know who God is talking to this evening, but in the name that is above every other name, may favor be rubbed off on you like a perfume. You think most of the things supernatural people do, they do because they are strong? No, they do because they are favored. The moment they say it, people go out of their way to make it happen. I'm telling you, I heard a man of God spoke the other day, and he said, I don't want anything. I don't want anything. He said, I want it for you, not me, please. You know why? The moment he says he needs something, before the day is over, more than 20 people will go out of their way to get it. He now discovered that a point came, he didn't need to say it. If he thinks about it, the moment they thought, he just thinks about a car, more than 3 people will bring a car. So he said he became careful how he thinks. I'm telling you, did you not read your Bible? He said before they speak, God will answer. He said while they are yet thinking, he will appear. It's a realm. The thing people are toiling for, you sit down and it's coming to you. And then you are wondering. Now, it may not just be because of what you are doing. Value is very important. I began this teaching by showing you the 8 cadres of natural existence, right? Consciousness into what? Development into what? Principled living into what? Values and virtues into what? Productivity into influence, leadership, and legacy. So we are not saying don't be hardworking. No. We know the cadres of natural existence. But I'm telling you the exceptions that distinguishes people. There are exceptions. What others sweat about, you just come, it begins to happen. Sometimes you are trying to be modest. You say it's enough. They say no way. They are blessing you against your will. And then you are wondering why. There is a favor on your life. Look at the Israelites. They were slaves for almost 400 years. And suddenly in Exodus 12:36, the Bible says God gave them favor. Immediately, the taskmasters, the slave owners, brought their jewelries, their resources, and gave them. And said, take our wealth and go with it. Does that sound natural to you? It's a verity. It's a virtue. It's a fragrance that comes out of supernatural people. If you find anybody who lives in the supernatural, faith is natural to him. Wisdom is natural to him. Favor is natural to him. And that's not all. He has joy. In the midst of turbulence, he is at peace. And you will know that this person is not a normal person. Paul was in a ship that was about to be shipwrecked. 14 days, no food. And everybody was in a panic state. Imagine there was turbulence consistently for 14 days. The Bible said the wind was against them and was beating against the ship. Can you imagine that? You are in the middle of nowhere and there was turbulence. Some of you are in the aircraft and the plane shake. For 5 seconds, you want to die. 14 days, they were being bombarded by wind. Everybody was panicking. They had to throw even food away and were hungry because they wanted to reduce as much weight as possible. In fact, a point came, the jailer wanted to kill all the prisoners because they thought they were going to die and some prisoners might escape. And Paul said, don't be troubled. He said, the Lord, whom I serve and whose I am, was by me yesterday and said there shall be no loss of life. How can you be at peace under chaos? How can you have so much stability in turbulence? It's the supernatural. Jesus was sleeping in a boat that was about to capsize. It's the supernatural. See, once in a while, your natural elements may overtake you. But I'm telling you, if you are a supernatural man, see this fluctuated existence, fear, panic. I don't know what will happen. It don't exist in our realm. There's peace. There's joy. There's stability. And then there is love. Meet supernatural people. They love the unlovable. They don't know why, but they just love people. There's no pressure. There's no panic. There's no insecurity. They want the best for others. And you are wondering, why are you like this? It is the realm where they are existing. So when you find a supernatural man, virtues flow out of him naturally. Love, peace, joy. I'm showing you this so that when you enter that frequency, you will know. Because we are discussing what? Supernatural living. When you get to a realm in your life where anything you want to do, if you inquire of the Lord, He gives you direction. And even when you forget to inquire, while you are going, God talks to you. Know that, no, you have entered the frequency. You know, if you don't know that you are there, you may be there and not maximize it. Jacob said, the Lord was here and I knew it not. It was the place of encounter. That was where his destiny was going to change. But he was not aware. So when we give you these indicators, it's so that when you hit that frequency, you will know. And if you know, you can maximize it. When direction becomes supernatural and consistent, know that you are not living where ordinary men live. I'm telling you. When you hit a frequency where virtues, spiritual virtues, start flowing out of you naturally. See, it's not only when you feel electricity that you are in that realm. Oh. Baby Christians think they are in that realm where something comes on them and they are shaking and they fall down. Then they start prophesying, the Lord is here. The Lord is here. The Lord is here. Grow beyond that level. See, once in a while, those ecstatic feelings can come. But you can't live there. Imagine you are slain. How can you now live? So there is a realm where you have to be able to carry to your office. There is a realm where you have to be able to carry to the market. So you are not shaking like somebody beaten by rain. Yet you are in the realm. And because you know you are there, you can command. You can give laws. You can legislate. Because you are literally on your throne. You can shape things. And sometimes it's with a whisper. That's when it shows that you have gained mastery. It's with a whisper. Oh, I went to see a patriarch in this nation. And after I honored him, he just said, what you have brought, he said, next time he will bring more. He didn't need to say, I prophesy over you. Let the doors of finances open. Let the gates of nation open. Let your home be exalted. That one is for young men who are still growing. We do that. They've sat on that throne for 40 years, for 50 years. He said, what you brought here is the least you will bring. The next time you will bring more. You know what he's saying? Whatever made you have this has doubled. That means this is your list. Your best has become your list. He just changed your story overnight. And I'm telling you, if I'm going back there, if I carry 10 times what I took the last time, I'm not a serious person. If I'm going back there, I can comfortably carry 100 times what I went there with the first time. Because levels have changed. Authority has changed. Influence has changed. Favor has changed. Why? A man enthroned spoke. He said, the next time you come, you will come with me. Hey! See, there are heights. So don't live at the foot of the mountain. Come up hither. Come up hither. Come up hither. But you see, you must master the elements and the indicators. When you sense direction, know that something has shifted. You have entered somewhere. When you sense God's presence, know that you have entered somewhere. When you see spiritual verities consistently flowing out of you, I don't shift too. No, I don't shift. Something don't happen. I don't love like this naturally. I don't have this kind of peace naturally. No, something has shifted. This joy is not normal. This wisdom is not normal. Every day you open your mouth, you are speaking novel things without thinking. No, something has shifted. The moment you know, you are in charge. I'm telling you, the moment you know, you are in charge. You can start talking and things that didn't happen before begin to happen. Are you following me this evening? Direction, presence, spiritual virtues and varieties. Then number four. Is demonstration of power. Do you know why I took time to show the first three? Because those three are the signals that you can demonstrate power. When a man is living supernaturally, there is the dimension of power that his life commands. And it is consistent. It is consistent. The propensity may vary depending on the state of his soul per time. But the elements are consistent. Paul was speaking. 1 Corinthians 2 from verse 1. See a man talking to. He said, when I came unto you, I did not come with excellency of speech, declaring unto you the counsel of God. This is a man talking. I was not all about language. Verse 2. Hear Paul. For I determined not to know anything among you save Christ and him crucified. He said, my teaching and my preaching were not with enticing words of man's wisdom. It was the demonstration of power. My teaching was a demonstration. So Paul didn't come to wow to bamboozle you. If Paul is talking to you slowly, cripples can walk. Doors can open. If Paul is shouting because he's high, cripples can walk. Doors can open. The goal is not to fascinate you. He knew anytime he spoke, he was commanding the supernatural. So much so that those who wanted to challenge Paul, in chapter 4 verse 20, Paul said, wait for me, I'm coming back. It's not a once in a while thing. He said, when I come back to you, let's find out who has the kingdom. Because the kingdom of God is not in words, it's in the demonstration of power. I can manifest it any day, anytime. You are not supernatural if you can manifest God's power. The Bible said these signs follow them that believe. Mark 16:17. In my name they shall cast out devils. Mark 16:17. They shall speak with new tongues. Next verse, verse 18. They shall take up serpents. They shall drink deadly thing. And it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick. The sick shall recover. Not once in a while. This is their state of existence. They can bring into tangibility verifiable context, supernatural realities, the power of God. This was how Jesus lived. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. For God was with him. He could bring the supernatural. He could bring the spiritual to manifestation. This was his life. And this is what God is calling all of us to function in. Imagine for a second that every aspect of your life, there is precise direction and leading of the Holy Spirit. Think about it. Do you think you'll be like this? Imagine for a second, if every day you carried God's presence anywhere you stepped into. Imagine for a second, if every day of your life, spiritual varieties, virtues, verities flow out of you in the likeness and similitude of wisdom, of favor, of joy, of peace. Do you think your generation won't stand still to recognize and celebrate you? And then imagine if you could bring God's power to the scene. I don't know how you are able to do it. You can use anything. The word, prayer, gifts of the spirit, the anointing. But just imagine if you could bring God's power on the scene. They say there is crisis and you say, don't worry, our God is alive. And you speak and things change. Do you think you will be normal? Do you think your generation will not listen to you and say, tell us what to do? The reason all of us are lost and struggling, most of us, not all, is because the supernatural is not in manifestation. He said, everyone that believe, they will lay hands on the sick will recover. Are you a believer? Yes. He said, everyone that believe, they will take up serpents, it shall not hurt them. Everyone that believe, if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Imagine if 5% of us began to function like that. You see why God is calling you and I to the supernatural. We have lived too natural. We have been trapped in the realm of time. We have been trapped in the flesh. We have been trapped in the visible constellation. It's time for us to come out into our true reality, where we can command God's power and God's presence and God's authority. That's what the world is waiting for. They don't doubt our God, but they need us to present him with proofs. Supernatural living. This life is beyond wearing a suit, appearing pious, and speaking church language. They must find God's presence when you come. You are like the mobile ark of God. Everywhere you show up, God's presence. See, and it has implications. When God's presence was trapped in a wood, it was demonstrating wonders. They carried the ark to the temple of Dagon. Overnight, the god of the Philistine fell down, worshipping a wood that carries God's presence. Meanwhile, you are afraid that they took your name to a shrine. Is something not wrong with our understanding? The supernatural. Number 5. When a man carries the supernatural, he lives a life of notable impact. You can't embody the supernatural and your existence is not consequential. Isaiah 60 verse 1. Arise, shine. Your light is come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon you. It said, Gentiles shall come to your light. Kings shall come to the brightness of your rising. A supernatural man imparts both the common and the noble. No one is outside of his spectrum. Even kings look for him. The same way the ordinary people look for him. So a life of consequence is what we refer to as supernatural existence. You can't be in a company and you are a non-entity. No way. You don't need to be called the boss, but over time the boss will recognize you as boss. I'm telling you, the supernatural is a life of impact. Matthew 5:13-16, it said, you are the light of the world. A city set upon the hill that cannot be hid. You are the salt of the earth. It said, let your light so shine among men, verse 16, so that they will see your good works and give glory to your heavenly Father. Now, this is where you take responsibility. You may have divine direction. You may have divine presence. You may have verities of the Spirit, like wisdom, like love, like favor. And you may have the ability to manifest spiritual power. Impact is you channeling all of that to shape humanity. So if anybody is supernatural, he doesn't embrace indolence. He wants his existence to be consequential. So that direction from God is applied. That presence of God is applied. Those verities from wisdom to favor to love to peace is applied. And then the power of God that he carries is applied. Because he knows that his life should be consequential. See, when you hear a message like this, hear it making up your mind. I will not be ordinary. Because this message is a summon. You can't remain where you are. You must begin to shape your territory and bring glory to God through the command that your life brings to your generation. Everybody who is supernatural is impactful. Go read your Bible. Abraham was so impactful that the kings of the then nations came to him to seek wisdom and guidance. When Lot was taken by four nations, four kings, the Bible said Abraham, Genesis 14, he took 318 trained servants and went after four kings. He conquered Lot. He received Lot back, conquered those kings, and left with the spoils of war, and handed back to the king of Sodom and Gomorrah that were looted. And when they wanted to offer him the spoils of war, he said, I won't take a thread from you, lest you say you made Abraham rich. Imagine a man is so consequential. He's dealing with four kings and helping two kings. And they say, I don't need anything from you. I'm too blessed. You can't help me. So the kings that he conquered looked at him with terror and trembling. The king that he supported submitted to him as an authority over them. This was a man, a family man. Six nations under his influence. Four were against him. He dropped them. Two now submit to him because of impact. And you are here. You say, it's not easy. Remove those things from your syllables. Remove it from your vocabulary. If it's easy, how will your life count? The light does not shine in light. The light shines in the darkness. We know it's not easy. That's why we are here, to make it easy. I'm telling you why you were born. This is why God put you here. To command the supernatural in your sphere of influence. See, when the next time you go to the bank, tell yourself, we are taking over the financial world. That's the mentality. Go ask the sons of the bondwoman. They will enter your nation and tell you, in the next 30 years, we'll take over. Meanwhile, they are not even coming with value. They come with terror, lies, and wickedness. But they have a mentality of takeover. But you, whom the Lord gave the word, you see yourself as a servant. How do we survive in this country? Me, I'm looking for one small corner to put myself. The biggest of nations, they will enter, tell you to your face, in 30 years we'll take over this country. They will enter your company and tell you they are taking over. But you, that God says you are the head and not the tail, you are comfortably not just being the tail, but hanging on the tail. Supernatural existence is impact. Make your mark. The Bible said you were a desolate land. Isaiah 60:15. He said, no man went through you. He said, but I have made you an eternal excellency, the joy of many generations. Sir, when I saw that scripture, I looked at my life. I said, the joy of many generations does not look like this. That was when I woke up. Because the command is, arise before you shine. If you don't arise, you will not shine. See, that's why people like us, we are looking around for inspiration. We are never satisfied. The Bible says, remember not the former thing. I know you raised the dead yesterday. I know you fed 50 people yesterday. I know you paid school fees for 30 people yesterday. Forget it. There is a greater dimension ahead. Remember not the former thing. He said, behold, I will do a new thing. It may not yet appear, but I will do it. This is supernatural existence. A life of impact. See, when you find supernatural people, they always stretch beyond themselves. A man enters a village, you say, I want to bring light here. I want to bring education here. I want to bring the gospel here. And you are wondering, what do you have? I may not have anything in the bank, but I have the God that created the world. It's a mentality. Stop looking at yourself and sizing yourself up. Look at yourself from the perspective of how God sees you. The DNA that you carry, even in the natural, as one man, God gave the whole earth to Adam. But now you are not just a natural man. You are a supernatural man. How much more? Listen, a time will come, we will take responsibility for the galaxies. We will say, because we are here, weather will not change. Because, and this is scripture. Did you read about Joshua? Joshua chapter 10 verse 12. Let the sun remain upon the valley of Ajalon. Let the moon remain upon the mountain of Gibeon. He said the sun did not make us to go down. There is an agenda on earth, so we regulate the planets. I'm talking supernatural here. So we are not just taking responsibility over people. Even animals. See, look at medical science. Medical science is already taking responsibility for animals. They are treating horses and cows and donkeys. So they have gone beyond the scope of men. Even animals, medical science decided that because of what we have, we will take responsibility for animals. Meanwhile, we were the ones sent to all creation. Look at technology and science. They are taking responsibility for weather. And then we are here. Even ourselves, we think we are handicapped. No. No. He said, awake, awake. Thou that sleepest, Christ will give you light. God is expecting you and I, not just to cater for men, but for the whole nation, for the whole creation, and for the whole planetary body. Some of us are supposed to become governors of constellations. You will regulate weather. Say, farmers will have rain from so-so time to so-so time, so that agriculture will not suffer. That's the realm God is bringing you. I wish somebody is getting what I'm saying. I just wish that you break out of this limited existence. See, what I'm talking about here is no ambition for power, for money. The Bible says if you have what to eat, what to wear, where to lay your head, you should be satisfied with it. I'm talking taking responsibility because of your ordination to make your world a better place so that others can fulfill purpose and God can take glory. This is beyond what you need. And believe me, when you start doing this, even what you need will come in surplus. The supernatural. When we talk supernatural living, we are talking a life of undeniable impact. And then finally, because of our time, when we talk supernatural living, we are talking divine provision and preservation. That you reach a level in your life. Oh, the Bible said, I have not called the seed of Jacob to seek me in vain. I was young, now I'm old. I have not seen the righteous forsaken, or his seed beg for bread. See, we have a defeatist mentality. You'll find a Christian that should sustain his word, and all he's thinking of is, how will I survive? The problem is not lack of food, it's lack of mentality. Your lack began from here, not here. Look at what the psalmist said. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. Psalm 23, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pasture. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restored my soul. This is a man talking. He had too much assurance, too much audacity. Now, David was a king, but he didn't think his sufficiency, both in resources and in preservation, came from his office as a king. This is why, even when David's life was in jeopardy, he had assurance that he will not die. Because if his confidence was in his throne, when he was fought, he wouldn't have been thinking God would preserve him. And even when his son rose against him, Absalom, he would have been afraid. But before kingship, after kingship, there was assurance. He said, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me." He said, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." He said, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies." So valley of shadow and death is not enough. You came out, you are still saying you will rule in the presence of your enemies. Because he knew the Lord was his shepherd. He knew he would not want. So provision and protection is a double package for supernatural life. I am not saying don't take physical initiatives around your provision. I am not saying don't take physical initiative around your preservation. You know, when we speak like this, people keep saying, look at them. They are saying God will protect you, but they have security. You know, they are talking like they know the ways of God, but they don't know anything about the Bible. He said the horse is prepared for the day of battle. Victory is the Lord's. That victory is the Lord does not mean the horse is not prepared. The David who was saying this had some of the finest warriors. But he knew his preservation was not with his warriors. Nonetheless, he had warriors. So when we say God will preserve you, we are not saying live a life careless and defenseless. No! We are saying beyond all the physical infrastructures, your confidence is in your God. We are not saying don't walk with your hand. We are not saying don't do business. Don't invest. That's not what we are saying. We are saying everything you do with your hand prospers because of the blessings of the Lord. That's why God blesses the works of our hands. So God mandates us to walk, but he blesses it. It is the blessing that makes the difference. So when you find a supernatural man, one of the things you will see is that he's supernaturally provided for. One of the things you will see is that he's supernaturally protected. Others may die in an accident, he will come out. Others may die in a plague, he will come out. When people are in trouble, he's praying for them. He knows he's already covered. That's supernatural existence. That's where God wants to bring you and I. That's where God is inviting you and I to function from. Where we become impregnable to everything that destroys and everything that hurts humanity. And we rise to the realm where we become the answer and the solution to our generation. Many live this life. I told you already about Abraham. Without an established army, fought four kingdoms and defeated them because God was with him. I told you already about Joseph as a slave, rose up and was a captain over a man's house, captain over a prison, until he became prime minister of a nation. Look at Daniel. Look at David. Look at Elijah. Look at Moses. Does it not surprise you? Every major character in the Bible lives supernaturally. That means if you don't live supernaturally, you will not highlight in God's history. Because everybody who is captured in God's history was a supernatural entity. Either you have a full book, or you have a chapter, or you have a mention. But by all means, for you to be there, you must be supernatural. So don't say, I was born in 1990 something, 1980 something, 1970 something, and I left in 2000 and something. Hope you will be captured in God's history. The only reason for which you will is if your life is supernatural. So that when the stories of divinity is told, your name will be mentioned. You know, one of the things that humbled me so much was the fact that a book is called the Book of God, but the book is littered with the names of men. You carry the Bible from the beginning. God is talking about men from beginning to end. So the story of God is weaved into the stories of men. Of course, it's about Jesus and salvation, but it is littered through men, because it is through men that Jesus and salvation is revealed. Even Jesus himself, when he finally manifested, he manifested as a man. But there was not one that was not supernatural. I don't have time to talk about Jesus. The Bible already said the things he did, if they were captured, it said there are no volumes of book on earth to trap them. The supernatural is your lot. This is the life God has created you to live. But you see,
The major reason why we are studying the subject is because it doesn't just happen by default. There are precursors. This is why Apostle Suleiman taught us last week the DNA precursor of the supernatural. When there is an established identity and consciousness, you break into the supernatural. Tonight, in another 5 minutes, I want to show you another precursor, which is praise. When you find people who walk in the supernatural, from divine direction to divine presence to divine verities to divine power to divine provision and preservation, there are things making those powers to manifest. And so you are born into it, but whether you manifest it or not is your choice. And one of the major precursors of the supernatural is praise. Glory to God. Now let me show you 5 aspects of the supernatural that praise evokes. Number 1, divine presence. Psalm 22 verse 3. It said, "But thou art holy, O thou that inhabits the praises of Israel." When a people begin to praise, God's presence appear over them. So praise is an activator of the supernatural. See, if you want the supernatural, you can manifest it. The problem with us is that we don't take the responsibility for unlocking them. Find out anybody who walks in the supernatural. Praise is one of the major things traceable to such people. I looked at some of our fathers that have walked in this dimension for decades. You look at them when they are praising, some of them are playing like children. They forget their rank, they forget their stature, they forget their impact. You'll find them playing, dancing, humbling themselves before the Lord. Because they know it's not about happiness, it's a trigger. The moment they are done praising, they start declaring. And then you are seeing things happen. And then you are thinking, they are special people. That's why these things are happening. Go and trace their history. Some of you are far better than them before God picked them. If you study about these men and see their history, some of them are laughable. Go check their pictures when they started and compare with your picture. You will know that you started very high compared to them. When I see some of these men, I just start laughing. I say, "God, you are big. If it's this person that has become this person, then truly you are a great God." Because when you look at the picture, there is nothing under heaven that will convince you they will be shaking their world. You can't reconcile it. But they knew secrets. And as they engage those secrets, you see their lives blossoming, blossoming, blossoming. And it's unending. It is so surplus that they transfer it as an aggregated heritage to another generation. They have too much to exhaust in their one lifetime. What some of these men have carried, they can't spend it in 20 lifetimes. So there is no room for you to struggle. Engage what they engage and command the results they commanded, both in scripture and in your generation. And one of the things I can tell you with authority occasions the supernatural is praise. 2 Chronicles 5, verse 13 and 14. The moment the trumpeters and the singers began to praise God, the Bible said the glory of God descended into the temple. And it was so palpable that the priests could not stand to worship. You can provoke it. You know the problem with us? Even when you come to church, now you are not doing it as a lifestyle. Oh, you now come to church. God anoints some people specially to lead you to praise. When they are praising, you stand like this. You are nodding. That's why your life is also gathered like that. Packaged for you, like your nod. This is what you should do as a lifestyle. You are not doing it. Once in a week, God gathers his children, anoints somebody to help you come up. You lock up, you are doing like this. Now, when the thing touch you, you now do like this. Meanwhile, you don't know that what you are doing is a mystery. You are about to bring and animate the presence of God. You are about to unlock the Shekinah. That's not something you do as though it's a casual thing. And I'm not saying begin to dance like somebody in a disco hall. There is a place for piety and moderation. But let your heart be poured forth. And when your heart is being poured forth, whatever response your body carries it on, flow. But if you will see the supernatural, you must praise. Praise unlocks divine presence. Number two, praise is a weapon. It's a spiritual weapon. We have quoted it here too many times. 2 Chronicles 20 verse 21 and 22. Three nations besieged Judah. Moab, Ammon, Mount Seir. They didn't have an army to go against them. And God himself recommended praise. God himself. He said, go into the battle. You don't have to fight in this battle. The battle is the Lord's. When you go, just sing. The Lord is good. His mercies endure it forever. Imagine you are going to fight an army that is over three times larger than yours. And you are singing. That means beyond bows and arrows, there are other weapons we have. There are other weapons. There are other weapons. Praise is one of those weapons. You know the way praise works? Praise is so powerful that praise can be used by even children. And when praise is at work, praise silences your enemy. He said, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou have ordained strength, that thou mightest silence or steal the avenger. So when I am praising, my enemy can't fight me. When I am praying, I can fight my enemy and he fights me and I win. But when I'm praising, my enemy is bound. That's why the Bible said, when they praised, in 2 Chronicles 20, 21, 22, he said they got to the place. God had already set an ambushment in the camp of the enemy. They destroyed themselves. These guys came to carry the spoils of war. You have that kind of weapon and you are not using it. And then you come back every day, pastor, pray for me, my boss at the office, he doesn't want me to rest. When was the last time you locked the door and said, this your boss matter ends today? And then you praise God violently for 2 hours. And then go back to that your office. Let's see if that your boss can use his hand to sign any signature or say anything to you. You don't know the mysteries available to you. He said the power of praise is such that it does not just procure victory. It silences your avenger. So when men rise up against you, just praise. Forces that even you is not aware of will go in your defense. It's a weapon. You know, we are good at complaining and lamenting. You have told everybody about that woman who does not want you to rest. You have told everybody about that your boss who does not want you to rest. You have told everybody about village people until village people have become popular. Now, even in the Western world, they know village people because of you. So you have made village people more popular than Jesus as far as your immediate life is concerned. Meanwhile, village people can become helpless if you can lock your door and go on a 7 days marathon of praise. Look at the life of David. He fought 66 battles and he didn't lose one. Not one. 66 battles. The man won 66 battles. David. What weapon was he using? You think his mastery of bows and arrows alone? No. Go and read about David. There was priesthood there. There was psalmistry there. There were many invincible weapons that David was using. And one of them was praise. Because at the end of David's life, he was recognized as the sweet psalmist of Israel. He wasn't just recognized as a king. He wasn't just recognized as a warrior. He was recognized as the sweet psalmist of Israel. David could sing out demons from people. In a generation that men did not have authority over demons. When people were demonized, David played the instruments of music and demons fled. So he could deal with both spirits and men by the power of praise. And then you are here complaining. Listen, somebody's life is about to erupt. Somebody's life is about to change. That your boss appeared powerful because your consciousness exalted him. Now, by praise, you are going to exalt your God so much that your boss will become like a rat. Oh, you mean it? That's who you are. You check your bank account, there's nothing. The government is wicked. They want people to die of hunger and of banditry. You go to your office, everybody is against you. When you come home, don't cry. Oh, he mean it. That's who you are. There's a river that does not run dry. Hey! Oh, you mean as you are present, the one bigger than your president will appear. Sister Imakaya, Hetelano, Brakas, Meleka Banono. See, the way they rubbish some people. For the past 4 weeks, you go to that office every day, sat down from morning to evening. They don't even have the courtesy of greeting you. They are looking at you like you are smelling, like a nuisance. And you keep going. And they ignore you. They ignore you. Wake up. See, don't beg men. Talk to your God. He will command those men to look for you. I know the place of building honorable kingdom relationship. But if it will make you to live and undermine your values, you don't need it. He said, a man in honor that knoweth not is like the beast of the field that perishes. I rather lie before my God than go and rubbish myself before anybody. I don't beg nobody. I'm telling you, I have met the great and the mighty. Most of them look for me. Go and check. You know, when people see us with great people, they think we are ambitious. We are looking for connection. Ask those people who reach who. When we meet them, we honor them because we recognize their impact. We recognize their stature, but we didn't look for them. I'm telling you, think of any name. Because I know how to find men in the spirit. When you stay before God, that your helper will appear and he will treat you like a human being. Men have been rubbish. They treat you like rag. After 2 months, they now give you a stipend. That money you receive is a confirmation that you are a beggar. You know why? They have made you think you don't have value. So even though you collected money, that money becomes useless because your mentality was destroyed before money was given to you. You cannot even talk straight again. Sir, please, sir, you know, sir, the situation, sir. One sentence, 30, sir. If only you will stay with God for 7 days and just recognize him as your maker, as your king, as your God, as your provider. See the way God will show up. Look at Paul and Silas. Acts 16:25. They were beaten and thrown to prison. If they had connection, they would have used it. There's nothing wrong with connection. By God's grace, I know a few people. But hear this. They didn't have any connection, yet they were not disadvantaged. The Bible said at midnight, Paul and Silas, they prayed. They sang praises. Guess what happened? The first entourage came from heaven. Then the jailer became their servant. The one who locked them up became their servant. See, tables can change. I'm telling you, tables can turn. But you need to know the weapon to use. One of the weapons to use is the weapon of praise. Lift your voice for 1 minute. Just honor this your God. Things can change overnight.
God. Dependable, dependable God. Hey. Reliable, reliable God.
In the name of Jesus. You know, when the angels look at us, they marvel. See all the resources these people have that they are not using. It's like somebody has great British pounds, euros, US dollars, Australian dollars, naira, and he doesn't know what to do. He's begging for food. And the angels are wondering, why are you not spending your resources? You have prayer. You have praise. You have thanksgiving. You have fasting. You have good works. Why are you not using them? Praise. It's a precursor of the miraculous. Sit down for a moment. I don't want you to praise God emotionally tonight. I want you to praise God with understanding. Because it's not about whether you are happy or not. It's about an understanding that this is a weapon. Because when Paul and Silas were praising God in Acts 16:25, I don't know if they could be happy. Because they were beaten and thrown in prison without any connection and hope of coming out. That's not a state of happiness. But they prayed and they sang praises. So it's beyond, I know this song, I love this song, I am enjoying. That's not what you are doing. You are worrying. You are worrying. You are worrying. This is why God has given to us in this house as a culture. We don't know anybody. And the few we know may not be willing to help. But we have to be high flyers. So we always go up. If we have to need them, we will summon them from there. Praise God. Are you following? So praise is a precursor. Now, what I'm showing you can make anybody walk in the supernatural. If you will engage. Number three, praise creates atmosphere for the miraculous. John 6:11, even Jesus, the word of God, when he wanted miracles, he gave thanks. He lifted his voice and thanked God and said, take the bread, give them. Take the fish, give them. It began to multiply. At the tomb of Lazarus, John 11:40-41, I thank you, O Father, that you always hear me. And he shouted. That means he believed this thing never fails. Lazarus, come forth. The Bible says he that was dead came back to life. You don't shout at a gravesite. What if it doesn't work? He knows the power of praise and thanksgiving. He knows it. He knows it. When you start praising, the miraculous become normal. We do a lot of crusades. Sometimes I go to the crusade ground, I don't sense the oil. And you see me turn. Where is Ai? Come up. Look at them. Isaac praise. They come up, and when they start praising, we start dancing. When the praise hit a crescendo and make a decree, without sensing oil, people are healed. Because the praise itself is an atmosphere of the miraculous. You can create change in your office. Lock the door there and praise God. And decree what you want. And see it happen. Even you will be shocked. So, miraculous operations and interventions are occasioned by praise. So, anybody who wants to live the supernatural life must be an ardent praiser. And then number four, because of time, I shut down here. Praise enlarges you and increases you. We've quoted it too many times. You know, sometimes you need more reminder than more information. He said, out of them shall proceed what? The voice of thanksgiving and the voice of them that make merry. I will multiply them, they shall not be few. I will glorify them, they shall not be small. When you are given to praise, you increase in leaps and bounds. Nobody who praises remains small. It's not possible. Look at the early church. Acts chapter 2, 47. The Bible said they continued daily praising God. And he said, and the Lord added to the church daily. So those who operate in the realm of daily addition, they are praise people. Few years ago, God taught me a secret. Anytime I receive an alert and I notice it, I say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, the thank you have become many on a daily basis. The more I say, thank you, Jesus, the more the volume and the frequency increases. God taught me this. The moment I see an alert, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. That's all. Thank you, Jesus, has made many people sleepless. I can't tell you quarters where people reach out from and send gifts and resources. There is no day in my life, and it has happened for a few years now, that I don't get financial blessings. Not one day. So what I now did is that I too channeled it and said, every day I must bless somebody financially. But guess what? The volume of what comes in is far superior to what goes out. Because what is going out from one man. What is coming in from many channels. Thank you, Jesus. That's all. Thank you, Jesus. Because when Jesus thanked the Father, the bread multiplied. I now multiply a lot through thank you. Now, I'm not saying be indolent. I work hard, though. This morning, I woke up, I went to bed 2 a.m. By 5:30, I was on my way to the airport, flew to Owerri this morning, preached and came back. I'm here now. I'm on my way to Bahamas tomorrow. So I'm not saying be indolent. But I'm showing you, in addition to hard work and smart work, there are mysteries. There are mysteries. So when you move around me, you hear, thank you, Jesus. Yes, because I'm grateful, but because something came in. My gym instructor came to me last week around 8 a.m. because I have a small gym in my house. And I was teaching them about impact. And I showed him, as at 8 a.m., I had 19 alerts. 19 as at 8 a.m. You lock your mouth and don't thank God. When we are thanking him, be nodding. No problem. Be nodding. Am I making impact? By God's grace, a little. But beyond the impact, there is a finger. This is 8 a.m. in the morning. I wish he's here. Those of you who know him, find out. His name is Seth. And I showed him some volumes. Because I wanted to encourage him. And there were volumes. Look at what we are talking about. They said, praise God. You are smiling. You are nodding. You will be shocked. Your age will be spanning. There will be nothing to show. Because the supernatural input will not be there. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know, somebody testified that he was with Bishop David Oyedepo. And in less than 30 minutes, He said, thank you, Jesus, more than 40 times. I didn't know why. Now I know. Gratitude is part of it. It's also a weapon of war. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And the realm is moving. Man, the heart of man is panting. If they don't bless you, they can't rest. Oh, I love this apostle. What can I do for him? Something is happening to you. You don't understand. My job is to be in the factory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Hey! Somebody's life is changing. Your baby is singing. I will be singing and chanting and dancing for the rest of eternity. My daddy, my daddy. Your baby is singing. I will be singing and chanting and dancing for the rest of till the end is only you. Till we meet is only you. Only you. Only you, my God. La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la. By what men are doing, but always remember the result is beyond what they are doing. They are mysteries. Every kingdom you belong to, they are mysteries that facilitate your manifestation. Those who are in the demonic realm, they have the mysteries they engage. These are our own mysteries. Learn to praise. Don't be motivated. You don't have to be encouraged to. Be creative around praise, because the powers, the possibilities, and the manifestations are enormous. They are enormous. Can we praise God? Are you ready to praise? Are you ready to unlock the supernatural through praise? I don't have time to go through many. Now hear this. Four basic ways we will praise Him tonight. Number one is by singing. Psalm 95 verse 1 and 2. Oh come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise unto the rock of our salvation. You got it, you got it, you got it. Number two, we are going to praise Him with musical instruments. Psalm 150 verse 3 to 5. Praise Him with the sound of a trumpet. Praise Him upon the harp. Praise Him with timbrels. Dance. Praise Him upon the loud cymbals. Come on! Come on! Hey! Number 3. We are going to praise Him with a dance. Psalm 149 verse 3. Let us praise His name in a dance. You will praise Him in a dance. How you know how to do it? Dance like a big man. Dance like an excited person. Whichever steps can give Him glory. Tonight you will praise. Are you following? And then number 4, we will praise Him with our gifts. Praise God. We will praise Him with our gifts. Proverbs 3 verse 9. Honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruit of your increase. Glory to God. These are four ways we praise Him. With a song, with musical instruments, with a dance, and with our giftings. Are you ready? Come on, give the Lord a shout! Open your two hands. The Bible says, let the people praise you, and the earth shall yield her increase. In the name of Jesus, because you have prayed, the earth is commanded to bless you. Receive your blessing, Lord. The Lord is fallen to you in pleasant places. The rock opened your mouth to give you water. The words of the Gentiles is transferred to you. Receive your increase, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ. When they blasted in praise, the walls of Jericho sank. Everything blocking you, your ministry, your marital destiny, your business, your career, everything stopping your advancement, I decree by the authority of the truth of God's word, they collapse now. They collapse now. Like the walls of Jericho, they are commanded to sink. In the name of Jesus, when Paul and Silas praised him, the Bible said an angel descended. The foundation of the prison shook. The doors opened. If your heavens are not open, I decree they open now. And everything that has kept you in captivity, I command them to open now. Let the gates open. The gates to your destiny. The gates to the city. The gates to your rising. I speak to them now. Ephphatha, in the name of Jesus Christ. When Jesus gave thanks, him that was dead came back to life. Whatever you have lost, from relationship to your health, whatever, I stand here on the authority of the truth of God's word. I decree in the name of Jesus, receive sevenfold restoration now. Receive sevenfold restoration now. And everyone that has ganged up with any form of confederacy against your life, the Bible said when they praise him, God set an ambushment in their camps. I decree in the name of Jesus, the assembly, the convergence, the gathering of your enemies is declared scattered. I said they are scattered. Now arise, shine. Your light is come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Gentiles come to your life. Kings come to the brightness of your rising. Step into a new season. Enter the face of your dominion. Enter the face of your supernatural existence. In the name of Jesus. He said, and let the people praise him. Let the earth yield her increase. And he said, thou, O Lord, are holy, that dwells or inhabits the praises of your people. Because you have lifted your voice to pray and to praise, I decree now a new weight of the presence and the glory comes upon your life now. A weight that confounds nations. A weight that breaks protocols. A weight that opens gates. A weight that brings sustainability and sustenance. A weight that brings abundance. A weight that brings dominion. A weight that brings influence. In the name of Jesus, receive it now! In the next 72 hours, a door locked against someone for a decade has opened. I see people people being maritally established. You are trusting God for marital establishment. As surely as the Lord God liveth, in the next 6 months, the process is activated. I said the process is activated. You are fruitfully settled in your home. Your marital destiny is established. The voice of reproach is cancelled. Visibility has come. Favor has come. Male or female, be established maritally in the name of Jesus Christ. People who are mentally barren, biologically barren, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I hear fruitfulness. I hear productivity. In the name of the Lord Jesus, in the next 21 days, the gate of productivity opens biologically, mentally, spiritually. Receive it now. Your health has failed. I decree revitalization. Supernaturally be sustained. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. Though thy beginning be small, thy latter end shall greatly increase. I see wells springing forth with water. I see wells springing forth, becoming oceans, becoming great water bodies. Now step into that dimension of dominion. Step into that dimension now. Every help you need is granted you. Every man you need in your destiny, you are connected. Every grace you require is supplied. Receive it now. You are blessed in your going out and in your coming in. Every righteous endeavor you are committed to, I command it blessed. Now from today, begin to command undeniable proofs that God is with you. May your life command change. May your life command influence. May your life command leadership. Let that grace come on you now. The praise of God dwell on your lips. The Bible says, carry with you words and praises on your lips, the sacrifice of praise. All through this week, I hear that the praise of most of you shall be a double-edged sword. You are breaking asunder the bars of iron. You are shattering the confederacy of darkness. You are uprooting all forms of limitation. You are sinking blocking walls. This is the season of your supernatural manifestation. Break into those dimensions now. It is your inheritance. Receive it in Jesus' name. Come on, clap your hands, all your people.